Changed by Love is the teaching ministry of Pastor Jim Kevney of Calvary Chapel Morris Hills in Morris County, New Jersey. Pastor Jim's desire is to teach the Word of God with passion and simplicity, as well as a direct application to our daily lives. Do you believe that God can heal people? Do you believe that God gives certain spiritual gifts to people? Most of us would answer yes to these questions. The deeper we get into the details, we find many sincere Christians disagree on them. In James chapter 5, we're called upon to be first and foremost a praying people. Prayer helps us stay focused on God, while our opinions often cause us to stray. Today, Pastor Jim will outline some different views on things, such as healing, yet we must keep our eyes on the Lord through prayer. So let's continue our message, Prayer and Healing, Part 1.
God the Holy Spirit, remember He is part of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit doesn't want us just to know it. I mean, it's one thing to know it in your head. He wants us to experience the presence of God in all aspects of life. He wants us to experience the goodness of the will of God, whether it might be difficulty or better times. He wants us to experience the goodness of the will of God in all aspects of life with real, trusting faith. I kind of just want to end there. Or go home and write just a little bit, you know, change some things and write a little bit longer message, man, because I love that verse. I love that verse. But verse 14 and 15 might be why you're watching tonight or this week or whenever you're watching, takes us to two of the most controversial verses in the New Testament. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Now, there's a lot of controversy here, and I think the controversy has its basis in the divisions within the church over spiritual gifts. Now, when we talk about spiritual gifts, and I want to talk about them some tonight because we haven't really talked about them in a long time since we were in 1 Corinthians, a lot of times when you talk about spiritual gifts or this group believes this, the discussion breaks down because within that group, there are a variety of differences. There are a variety of beliefs. So even if you get the groups right, it makes the groups hard to define. But one thing I will tell you, it's really good to understand some things about some groups before you start talking about them. You really have to learn some things about them. I know sometimes you'll hear me say, well, Pastor Jim, you come down on a lot of people that are you say are shaving the gospel. And I'll go, yes, because I read them and I listen to them. That's the only way I know. And so the only way you can know about such things is you have to read things. You have to listen to things. Or, you know, I would even say, don't trust me, because I'm telling you, there are so many combinations within so many different groups. And what's really sad is there are so many extremes. And I rarely find the extremes is where we want to be. So let's just talk about where really a lot of this stuff began. Now, if you want to be really snarky, you'll say, well, it begins in the Bible, and I don't disagree with you. But in terms of the real divisions that we know here in this country, if you're outside of America, this is really where a lot of this stuff began. And I'm talking about where it began in the United States. And a lot of it has been exported now, as some of these groups are some of the fastest growing and the fastest growing groups in the world. So let's talk about three waves, we'll call it. You surfers will like that. Let's talk about three waves. The first wave starts a bit before 1900, but typically associated with the early 1900s. And those are called the Pentecostals. Most people think it began with this thing called the Azusa Street Revival out in California, but more people trace it to Topeka, Kansas, of all places, Topeka, Kansas. And then it went to this Azusa Street Revival in California. And there was the return of, although some people said that that wasn't really the return of, but it was just more widely known of speaking in tongues and the interpretation of speaking in tongues. Now, some people say it's another language. Some people say that it is just your own prayer language. We're not here to talk about speaking in tongues. And also within that group was a big move towards holiness, which would really take them back a couple centuries to John Wesley, because he was big in the holiness movement. One of the downsides, I think, in that movement is that there became this, holiness is a good thing, don't get me wrong, but sometimes people take holiness to some externals that might not be good, and then if you fail at some of those externals, they would maybe say you could lose your salvation. But that was a widely known group, the Pentecostals. Then that went along for a long time. In fact, Assemblies of God, probably the most popular one we know here around here, came out of that. Other parts of the country, Foursquare movement became part of that. I think Church of God in Christ, I'll have to ask the resident Pentecostal in the back here, but I think they are a large group of that. And so there's large groups of that. Over the years, it waxed and waned, but the Pentecostal movement was a very large growing movement, but they were sort of over here. In the 1960s, the second wave came. Now, they didn't really call themselves the first and the second wave. The third wave called themselves the third wave, I guess, because they didn't have another name for it. But the second wave came, and that became the charismatic movement, primarily of the 60s. Now, what is charismatic? It's from the charismata, or the grace gifts of the Holy Spirit. This group was, while the Pentecostals were sort of their own thing, they were very separate from the mainline denominations. The charismatics were much more mainstream and much broader. Although, in time, a lot of charismatic people who believed in these miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit, and then Pentecostals believed in healings and miracles as well. But a lot of the people started in regular type churches that were not Pentecostal, started to believe in a lot of these gifts of the Spirit. We call them the power gifts. So if you ever hear anybody here talk of the power gifts, we're talking about healings, miracles, speaking in tongues, and the interpretations of tongues. You could even say prophecy. And so it became a bit more mainstream, and it became a lot broader. So a lot more people came into the fold, but it was different than Pentecostals, as it was probably less restrictive. While they were always around, we began to see the proliferation of what we would call faith healers, and also what we would refer to as the filling of the Holy Spirit. People would say they want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, which is funny to me, because I know a lot of people who don't believe in any of that, yet they'll pray with you before a service, "Oh, Lord, fill us with your Spirit." I want to go, "You don't believe in that." So unfortunately, prior to this and kind of adopting a lot of this stuff is where the Word of Faith movement came from. And the Word of Faith movement, also known as the Health and Wealth Gospel, very, very strong, very, very, lots of people involved in it. Some people estimate maybe as a third of American Christians are involved in it, and it's being exported out into the world. And so they became involved in that as well. So they would be very different than let's say, a Baptist who classified themselves as a charismatic versus a word of faith person. So that what I mean was, see, the differences within the groups can be absolutely huge. Now, for both of these groups, there's a big emphasis on what's called the doctrine of subsequence. And even within that, they kind of disagree. And so it would be sort of a second blessing of the Holy Spirit. Some would even believe in a third blessing, another blessing of the Holy Spirit. Particularly in the Pentecostal movement, it was speaking in tongues. A lot of Pentecostals believe that if you don't speak in tongues, that you can't be saved. I remember when I studied the book of Acts very carefully, we went through it. I don't know how many messages we did in the book of Acts. It was a long time ago. But it seemed like every time God saved somebody, it was different. And I'm like, I can't figure this out. And I made a point of reading a Pentecostal commentary, a charismatic commentary, a Baptist commentary, and John Calvin. And so I tried to keep a very balanced thing. And what it came down to was they pretty much agreed on everything until you came to speaking in tongues. And that's when the big disagreement came. So some people would say that you become a Christian, and then you, at a subsequent time, you speak in tongues to evidence that you're saved. Some people would say you become a Christian. At a subsequent time, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Other people would say that they both happen at the same time. Well, then we move from the 1900 or so to the 60s or so. We come into the 80s. Bad hair, interesting music. We come into the 80s, and there was another group called the Third Wave. Now, that's not very, really, not too much too appealing. So they were also known as the Sign and Wonders Movement, influenced very heavily by a professor at Fuller Theological Seminary named Peter Wagner, but also, more so probably, by a fellow pastor by the name of John Wimber. Now, very interesting about John Wimber. John Wimber was the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Anaheim. And so he, along with Chuck Smith and various other Calvary Chapel pastors, were very much the founder of Calvary Chapel. Chuck Smith was called the father of the Jesus movement. They were all part of that hippie movement. And so the Spirit of God was really, really moving. And so at some, how it went down, I don't know really. No, I wasn't there. And so Pastor Chuck and John Wimber had a discussion, and they just decided that they were going to go their separate ways. And Calvary Chapel of Anaheim became the Anaheim Vineyard. And that was the outgrowth of the Vineyard movement. They often sought to, in the Signs and Wonders movement, they sought signs, they sought wonders. They often sought the practice of power evangelism, a lot of prophecy, and evangelism would be accompanied by miracles. So they would want to demonstrate miracles. People would say, oh, there must be a God, and they would believe. Now, people who would be in these categories and others, we'll get to them, a simpler way of thinking about it in a moment, describe themselves as continuationists or continualists. I'll use the term continuationists. Think of it this way. They believe that the gifts that were exhibited during New Testament times in the reading of your Bible are continuing. They are continuing. Now, they would say those spiritual gifts continue today. Many of them fit into the categories we just discussed. Some, not all, believe that you have to speak in tongues. I have a friend, I remember him telling me years ago, he was a leader in a Pentecostal church. I won't name his denomination. And he said that a very big denomination. I did name them earlier. And he said that that they believe that if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. He brought me to his church. He said, okay, here's what's going to happen. We're going to sing some songs. And then right over there, there's going to be an old lady over there. She's going to stand up. She's going to speak in tongues. The guy in back over there is going to interpret the tongues. And after that's done, there's going to be somebody in the far corner over there. They're going to stand up and speak in tongues. And one of those two people over there will do it. And he was right. He's a prophet, right? And that's exactly what happened. But I asked him, so you believe in your denomination that all people to be saved have to speak in tongues? He said, well, yes, that's in our statement of faith. But in a survey, we found out that only, I think he said 17, 20%, some low number of people actually speak in tongues. He said, so we don't always know what to make of it. Other hand, so we have the continuationists over here. On the other hand, there are people who describe themselves as cessationists. What's a cessationist? All the spiritual gifts, I shouldn't say this, all of the power gifts have ceased to exist. Now, there are nasty cessationists and there are friendly cessationists. A friendly cessationist believes that the power or sign gifts, again, miracles, healings, speaking in tongues, interpreting of tongues, you could say prophecy in terms of predicting the future, they would believe that they have all ceased. So, if you're into those terms, you're into those terms. If you're not, it's okay. Let's take the terms and equate them once and again. Let's remember we have to use very general terms because people feel differently within each camp, the faith and practice of some people. I think that makes it a lot easier instead of trying to remember the names, because when you try to figure out the similarities and differences between Pentecostals, Charismatics, and Signs and Wonder Movement, you end up with a lot of overlap and a lot of conflicting things depending upon who you're studying. So, some people, when it comes to spiritual gifts, are what we'll call them, they're full on, man. They are full on. They are coming to church and they are coming to service for miracles. And they claim that there's lots of miracles going on. Sadly, tough to get any proof out of them on the miracles. And they tend to be focusing now a lot on health and wealth, which is unfortunate that they've narrowed it down just to that. A lot of times their services are very, very emotional. You'll see lots of dancing in the aisles. Sometimes people running around with flags. Again, differences within all of these different realms. Some, not all, there's just tons of money talk. Just tons and tons of it. Some claim miracles at every service. We had a young woman one time who came to our youth group and she said her church has miracles at every service. And I said, really, have you seen any of them? And they said, no, the pastors say we have to keep people's business private. It's just like when faith healers are asked, can you just tell us of all the, you know, present the people who've done the miracles? And they go, no. And they're like, well, present one. No, I have to keep their business private. Now, you would think if you had a miracle happen that you would be jumping around for joy telling people. I'm not saying there's no miracles, but I don't understand why they can't tell anybody. Now, there are also people that seem to tell us, missionaries tell us, that when the gospel is new in an area, they will see miracles. In America, I don't even know where we're at with that stuff sometimes. While some claim miracles at every service, those people, my experience, tend to be very hostile against doubters, and they have what I would call an unhealthy high view of pastors. Like Sometimes I meet people and I tell them I'm a pastor and they go, I can tell when you talk, it's the Holy Spirit talking. I'm like, no, it's me. It's me. Now, others are, another group is, they're not full on, they're fully open. They expect the gifts, but they openly acknowledge that the gifts that they're looking for are not as normal as they wish they were. A very popular view today, very popular. In fact, I think in America, it's probably the most popular, whereas outside it's not, is the view that we would call open but cautious. And those would be the people who say, I believe in the gifts, but I think much of what passes for the gifts is fake. That there's a lot of fakery and tomfoolery out there. Many of them would say that sometimes it seems like a lot of emotion and hypersuggestibility. Even hypnotism could be at work. Humorously, sometimes this group calls themselves charismatics with a seatbelt. In that sense, I identify with them. I think it's a funny way of putting it. They're also called aspirational charismatics. I mean, they aspire for this, but they don't want to fake it. They want to see the real deal. Now, there's a variant of open but cautious that we might call doubtful but open. They believe that God can do whatever he wants whenever he wants to. That's very hard logic to deal with, like to go against, that God can do whatever he wants whenever he wants to. The final group we talked about earlier, the cessationists, believe that the power gifts have ceased once the apostolic age ended and the New Testament was closed. They are, and boy, I see it, they are very much against the highly abused term of the fuller revelation. You say, what's the fuller revelation? That is people that are going around that are saying that God gave us a new message that's not consistent or may or may not be consistent with the Bible. Now, some people in this camp would in the fuller revelation would say we might be receiving flawed messages. Other people are saying, no, we're absolutely, when the pastor talks, he is speaking the very word of God, even if it contradicts the word of God. That is very, very dangerous. That can lead to such a misuse of power and authority. Now, I would not personally consider myself to be a cessationist. It was very popular for a lot of years. Wouldn't consider myself to be that. But I do know that some people that claim the fuller revelation are really abusing their power and manipulating people. There's something else, and this is a very sensitive subject for a lot of you, and I know I tread in dangerous waters when I say this, but this idea of the fuller revelation is honestly why I could not be a Roman Catholic anymore. Most of you know I was raised Roman Catholic. I come from a clergy family. I have clergy in my family. I went to Catholic school for 12 years. I was an altar boy for 4 years. I did all my sacraments, but in studying the scripture and then seeing a lot of what went on, while I wouldn't put it in the fuller revelation of guys just telling outright lies, I would put it in the category of an addition to scripture that I personally was not ready to accept anymore. Now, some of you, there's people who come here that still consider themselves to be Catholic. I love you. I'm glad you're here. There are people that come to our church that consider themselves to be charismatic Catholics. They come here. I love you. I'm glad you're here. I'm just telling you where I came down on that. As we close, while continuationists and cessationists believe differently, some are friendly and some are hostile.
Thanks for listening to Changed by Love with Pastor Jim Kevney of Calvary Chapel Morris Hills in Morris County, New Jersey. Changed by Love is designed to bring you hope, encouragement, and the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Please pray with us that Changed by Love will make a profound difference in many lives. We are stronger together than we could ever be apart. Teaming together in prayer is the key to a spiritually rich life. It really does take a team of praying individuals to reach thousands. Thank you for being a part of the Changed by Love support team. To find out more ways to team with Changed by Love, go to our website at changedbyloveradio.org, or you could call 862-217-9686. Thank you for spending time with Pastor Jim Kevney and Changed by Love.